As a result of that which we said last year in regard to the question of death, I have found some confusion or misunderstanding in the minds of some in this connection. Perhaps the confusion is more general than might appear, and for that reason I will briefly touch on the point this year. In going into this question of death, we must not lose sight of the fact that anything written or spoken on this subject, with the understanding of spiritual existence as entirely distinct from material living, must be founded on the admission that birth, death, either the first death or the second death, could not possibly be written or said concerning immortal man. Nothing that Mrs. Eddy has given us in regard to death could have anything to do with anything but mortal man. In analyzing what she has said on the subject of death, we must hold constantly to the conviction, based on spiritual understanding, that nothing in this regard could apply to man in the image and likeness of God. Man was never born, and he never dies. He exists as a spiritual identity in the consciousness of divine mind. Man's own consciousness of himself is the only existence man has. Man's consciousness of himself is his consciousness of divine ideas. Man's concept of himself, or consciousness of himself, is his consciousness of God's concept of man. Nothing that can be said in regard to either the first death or the second death could apply to the man of God's creating. We have explained the existence of mortal man from the standpoint of the human mind. The human mind is just as fictitious and unreal as the carnal mind, and therefore the creations or projections of this human mind, through the absorption of carnal thoughts, must be just as unreal and fictitious as the carnal mind or mortal mind. As birth does not apply to God's man, then what might be called the new birth could not apply to God's man. There isn't any first birth. Man is co-eternal and coexistent with God. That applies to you and me here and now. It is the scientific fact of all things that brings freedom, and not the relative. Material existence, as we all know, is simply the objectification of carnal thoughts held in individual consciousness. Our universe, our environment, our atmosphere, our experiences are all the manifestation of individual human thought. Therefore, the phenomena of material existence are individual. We see matter because we look out from a mind impregnated with carnal beliefs. We see people as material because we see nothing but thought. And thought is material if it comes from the carnal mind. The incidents or events which we see as a part of the lives of those with whom we are associated exist in our own consciousness. So that when we conceive of a person as dying or dead, we are simply witnessing the externalization of our own thinking. Our carnal thoughts, which are objectified to us as the death of a friend, cannot affect the material existence of that friend, for the reason that the material world of the friend is just as much the objectification of his mentality as our material world is the individual objectification of our thinking. So if we see a friend die, that in no way governs or directs the experience of the friend. Death is just as much an individual mental objectification existing in the mentality of each individual as is a material object. So that when you and I think we see a person pass on, our concept of that person does not register in the least that which is happening in the experience of the individual whom we think has passed on. Our concept of death in no way represents the experience of the individual who has died, or whom we think has died, nor does it change his environment, universe, or individual material surroundings. Our material surroundings are simply the individual objectification of our individual thoughts. And our surroundings cannot change until thought changes. Death does not spiritualize the thought of the individual whom we think of as dead, because death is just one more phase of the carnal mind, by virtue of which mortals think they live in matter. Inasmuch as each individual makes his own world, experience is likewise individual. And what might be the experience of one would not necessarily be the experience of another under the same conditions. By that I mean that what you and I might look upon as the death of a friend would not, because of our belief, in any way affect that friend. His environment could not be changed because of our belief. His environment could only be changed as a result of a change in his own belief. So what you and I call death does not in any way affect the person whom we think has died, nor does it alter the fact that he dies not. A mortal cannot be rid of mortality through the influences of mortal mind. Therefore, death being a phase of mortal mind, a mortal's material existence is not altered by passing through that experience any more than it is changed by passing through a belief of poverty, sickness, etc. In an editorial in the Christian Science Sentinel of February 3, 1912, there appeared the following, quote, "Earth's pressure of evil beliefs may seem to force the pilgrim to a crucial point of experience, as a phantom frightens into swooning the timid child. And this human crisis in the way heavenward may seem to the unspiritual to be death. But as to God there is no death, so, in science, to man there is none. What seems to be death is apparent only to the lookers-on. The individual who knows and loves God, in the transition supposed to be dying, may be more than ever living more in mind and less in matter. When the so-called dead have passed the Rubicon of suffering which is supposed to kill them, and to human sense they are seen to be dead, they are not dead. As to the Arctic explorer who has reached the pole, or the point on earth farthest north, there is no north, and he can only look everywhere south. So, then, to our sense, the dead, having passed the highest point of possible human suffering, find that there is no death, but instead only the dawning of a new and divinely enforced sense of life." Close quote. The following is attributed to Mrs. Eddy. Quote, "Death is not in the victim whom we say has died, but in us. It is we who are still alive, as we term it. It is we who dig the grave. It is we who put our friends into the ground and forever afterwards declare them gone. All these phenomena are in us, not in them. Our verdict of death upon our friends does not change them one iota. Jesus was the same after apparent death and burial as before." Close quote. Mrs. Eddy once said, quote, "If you were sitting in a chair and an archer should come to a window and send an arrow to your heart, you would feel a shock, a commotion, nothing more. You would try to continue conversation, but finding that you could not do that, you would try to find those with whom you could converse, while I would have to bury the body which I saw in the chair." Close quote. Now, you and I can do anything we want to with our concept of the body of a friend who has died, or seemed to us to die. In fact, we could even cremate his body, but that would in no wise affect or appertain to our friend's concept of his body, because in cremating our concept of his body, we have in no way touched or changed his mentality. And in his own individual mentality exists his own material body, and nowhere else. His seeming material body is not matter. It is thought. His thought, just as our concept of his material body is our individual thought and not his. Now, at this point, let me quote from a question asked by a member of the association. He says, quote, "If our existence is individual, and it is, and we make our own world which accompanies us in death, and there is no change for us, how will we ever be united with those who have gone on? Our present state does not include their presence. Hence, if death works no change, we certainly won't be with them again. Yet, Mrs. Eddy says we will in numerous instances, and in addition has written a poem about the meeting of her departed mother and husband." Close quote. This question, while a natural one, would lead me to believe that I have not yet made it clear to all of you that existence and the phenomena of material existence lie only in individual human consciousness, and that nothing can happen or become an object of individual experience that is not the result of individual belief. This question asks how we are going to be able, after death, to join those who have gone before, if those who have gone before have not been a part of our environment before we pass on. Have I failed to make it clear to you that even the phenomenon of the passing on of a friend is a phenomenon of our individual consciousness, and that therefore, if we believe that someone has passed on to another plane of existence, this incident is merely a creation of our own thinking, and the separation is one of thought only. Our present state of material existence includes the belief that our friend has passed on, just as certainly as it includes the belief that he has not passed on and that he is still with us. By that I mean that the belief that one person has passed on is just as much a part of our mental objectification as is the belief that another person of our acquaintance has not passed on. The two conditions exist in individual consciousness only. Therefore, our present state of consciousness includes not only the belief that our friends exist here and now with us in the flesh, but it also includes the belief that they have left us, and that when we die, we shall join them in that experience to which they have gone. The same belief of our individual consciousness, which tells us that our friends have passed on, also tells us that we shall someday pass on. Therefore, if our separation from our friends lies only in our individual belief about them and the incident of their passing, is it not clear that as soon as this same human belief takes us through the same experience, and we find out that we have not died, as they have found out through their experience that they have not died, we shall find ourselves in the same state or plane of thought that they found themselves on, awakening from the belief of death. And through this belief, we shall find ourselves freed from the belief of separation. The separation lies only in our individual belief about it. If this belief changes through either our own death or through our individual spiritual perception, the belief of separation is destroyed and the old belief of association exists. All there is to material, personal separation is belief. If the belief of material, personal separation is overcome one way or another, then there appears again the belief of material, personal association.